Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Mordecai Vanunu, Ephialtes, Guy Fox, Wang Jingwei, Vidkun Quisling, Mir Jafar. Recognize any of those names? How about these? Gaius Cassius Longinus, or Marcus Junius Brutus the Younger, Benedict Arnold. How about those? These are some of the most famous traitors in all of history. Their betrayal was usually of a country or of some type of political leader. They possessed loyalty for one side in the beginning, but ended up turning their backs on them and working for the enemy. Yet none of those listed had quite the same personal attachment to the one that they betrayed, as perhaps the worst betrayer of them all, Judas Iscariot. Betrayals and traitors have certainly served throughout history to spice up stories all throughout the past. Certain characters who buddy up to the hero, to the protagonist, only to turn on them, to double-cross them. Makes for a great and interesting story. Peter Pettigrew in the Harry Potter series. Edmund Parvenzi of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Gollum in The Lord of the Rings. More recent entries into the list of fictional traitors. But no matter the scenario, no matter the motivation, betrayals always wind up being tragic. Tragic parts of the story, and they leave the betrayer as a despicable character, at least for a while. Even Jesus' own ancestor, King David himself, had a run-in with a betrayer. A glimpse of it we hear in our Old Testament reading. His own counselor, one Ahithophel, conspired with David's own son Absalom to oppose his father. And when Ahithophel's plans came to nothing, like Judas, he too hung himself. But why? Why would God's plan for all mankind's salvation include betrayal? That would mean that someone personally close to the Lord Jesus himself would have to at one point then turn his back on him. Well, God certainly did not do this to spice up the story of our salvation. But rather, the Lord God, in his perfect wisdom, seems to be matching up Jesus' story with his disciples to the whole story of God and his beloved creation. God made the heavens and the earth out of nothing but pure love. No ulterior motives, no deception whatsoever. God's creation itself is a manifestation of his love, just as children are most often the manifestations of their parents' love. God created all things as good, as perfect, as holy. And God's relationship with all of his creation was perfect, without a flaw. God was the creator, and the creation that which was created. All was well and all was good until Adam sinned. And Adam's sin of eating of that forbidden fruit, it violated God's word. The word God had given to Adam out of love. Adam betrayed God in his trust. Adam trusted rather the word of the devil over the word of God. And Adam trusted his own judgment over that of the perfect Creator. And every sin that is committed even now is betrayal against Almighty God. All sin is betrayal against the Lord. The worst betrayal requires the best of relationships at the beginning. Adam's sin was so treacherous, so traitorous, because God's relationship with him was perfect and one of utmost love. And Judas's betrayal of Jesus was so heinous because Judas was one of Jesus' own disciples. Judas Iscariot was one of only 12 men out of thousands that Jesus called to follow him. For the better part of 3 years, Judas spent much of his waking moments in the presence of Jesus. He was taught by him with authority unlike anybody else. Judas heard Jesus' parables about the kingdom of God and what it is like in its grace and mercy. Heard the parables about God who seeks and saves the lost. Heard Jesus' parables about true wisdom and trust and faith. And Judas would have been present for most of the miracles our Lord Jesus performed. He would have seen the lame man who was able to walk. He would have witnessed the very power Jesus had by his word over the demons. He most certainly was in the boat when Jesus calmed the raging storm, when he had walked upon the surface of the waters. And he was even close enough on that holy Thursday night to Jesus, for Jesus to speak unto him without the other disciples overhearing. And so it can be rightly argued that Judas's betrayal of Jesus is at the top of the list of the worst betrayals of all time. And yet, here we are. Who are we? We also are those chosen by Jesus to be his people. You and I are those who have been set apart from the rest of this world. You and I are those washed and cleansed in the waters of baptism. You and I have been most intimately fed with the body and blood of our crucified and resurrected Savior. And he daily and richly forgives your sins and the sins of all who believe in him. And yet, among you sits one who betrays Jesus. Is it I? Is it I? Around the table, the question came forth from each of the disciples. And around this room, the question should go as well. And the answer to each of us asking the question is yes. You betray Jesus. I betray Jesus. How do we do so? We betray him when we do not speak about him to those around us. We betray him when we side with the ways of this world instead of following God's holy word. We betray Jesus when we put our family and our friends ahead of our Savior. Every sin that we commit breaks the first commandment. And every sin that we do elevates ourselves to godhood. And still, the Lord Jesus offers his nail-scarred hands, a reminder of the price he paid for your betrayal, for mine. And yet it is not a hand of punishment, a hand of chastisement. Is a hand of love, of mercy, of forgiveness, of friendship. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus grants you forgiveness for all your sin. Over and over again, the Lord Jesus opens himself up to you trusting that you will follow after him, but knowing full well that you will fail, that you will betray him again, and that you will hurt him again. But even so, his hands remain open to you. And that is the true measure of Jesus' love for each of you. That is the best picture of the greatest love of all. And you and I are called by Jesus to mimic that love in our own lives. We too are to turn the other cheek, as Jesus instructed. You too are to forgive 70 times 7. You are to forgive without ceasing, without keeping track. And yet every time you do so, you open yourself up again for betrayal. You trust that your loved one, your friend, your spouse, your child will not hurt you again. But you know that they will. They will fail, and they will betray you again as you will fail them and betray them again. But you can only forgive as Christ has first forgiven you. You can only love as Christ Jesus has first loved you and continues to love you, enriched by his good grace, fed with his body and blood of forgiveness. You are empowered by God's true Holy Spirit to love and to forgive as you have been loved and have been forgiven. The old Adam in us continues to fight, continues to ward off that grace. Your natural desire, our natural intent is to close ourselves off to such betrayal. You and I do not want to be hurt again. We would rather do the hurting than be the one to be hurt. Even so, such is the cross, the burden that each of us bears as the people of God. That is the new nature that lives within you. That is Jesus living within you, forgiving the betrayer, loving your attacker, showing mercy to those who deserve justice. For this is exactly what our Lord Jesus does for you. He forgives you all your betrayals. He loves you even though you lash out against him. He gives you mercy, even though you and I deserve vengeance. God did not add betrayal to the story of salvation, for it was already a part of it. And knowing this, God still sent his only begotten Son into this world for you and for me. And Jesus was betrayed in all of its ugliness for you, that he might die for you and rise again in all glory for you. And in so doing, Jesus has made you his own forevermore. Amen. The peace that passes all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.